Our reading is found in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I don't think she wants to go out, which is unusual. Oh, sorry, I haven't put it on. Sorry, is that better? Yeah, sorry. Philippians chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The next verse is an important verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. I think I'll leave it there. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. There's a true story told about the Beatles. At the height of their popularity, they decided to break up. But before they broke up, they decided to put together a project, a very controversial project, to be their last album that they would release. And they called it the White Album. Most of the songs in it were mostly individual pieces instead of being a product of collective workings. In one of the songs by John Lennon, he called I'm So Tired, he expressed the emptiness of his success and wealth and wealthy lifestyle with the profound words, I would give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind. This was the same guy who said he was more popular than Jesus. He was the only guy who could actually give him the peace that he longed for. Real peace of mind is when we have settled our accounts with the Lord. We realize that we cannot pay the price for all of our sins. I can't even remember all the sins I've committed. But I know somebody who loved me so much that he allowed himself to be crucified to cover all my sins. And if I could have been there 2019 years ago, I would have stood at the foot of the cross and recognized that that man on the cross was dying for my sins, not his own. And that he might give to me a gift that passes all understanding or surpasses all understanding. Peace. He's the same person who looked down from the cross and said to the crowd, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. It's the same person who turned his head towards one of the criminals and said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's the same person who said to his disciples, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. My giving is permanent. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we've confessed to him that we need him to save us and not ourselves. And we invite him to come into our hearts and lives and give us a new start. I remember the night I did that, I walked out the church and I knew that all my sins were forgiven. and I had a new opportunity to have a new life in Jesus Christ. The idea of baptism is that we are baptized into the death of Jesus. And on the third day he rose from the dead. We are baptized in water and we come out to the newness of life that we have in Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd invited him into your heart and you haven't been baptized, think about it. That's the next step along the journey. Identify yourself with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's what these three are doing this morning. The world has an impossible task to give anyone real, genuine, eternal peace. But it can offer you one or two other things. It can offer you pleasure, it can offer you power, and it can offer you possessions. But it cannot offer you genuine peace of heart and mind. If you have the pleasure, if you have the power, and if you have the possessions, in the end, you need to write a will to leave it to others. Because you can't take it with you. The pharaohs thought they could, but the wealth that Tutankhamun took with him is now in a museum. The world can never be a substitute for real peace of mind. A peace of mind has come to that person who trusts the Lord with their eternal destiny. The God of peace will be with you. Paul says, the God of peace. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to men. Let the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. There's no excuse. If you're a Christian, there's no excuse for you to be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the answer to world peace. So many people who are famous, successful, and wealthy could say, along with John Lennon, I'd give you everything for a little bit of peace of mind. We know the tragic end of John Lennon. He was murdered, wasn't he? He was assassinated by some guy who was really not at all healthy. And that was a sad day when he died. Because whatever you like to say, he was very talented. Well, the whole group was very talented. But it was just sad the way he left this world. I wonder how he stands before God today. Did he ever find that peace he was looking for? Number two then, the story of Christmas is a story about peace on earth and goodwill towards all men or all people. Paul, writing to the Christians in the Philippi, he says this: the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Peace of God. Do you know the peace of God this morning? As a Christian, do you get anxious and worried and fearful? There's no need to, because you know, God loves us and cares about us. The Lord offers to us His peace. Nobody else's, but His. And it's a wonderful thought. The gift of Christmas is not just Jesus, it's the peace of God. Jesus made it finalized when he said from the cross, "It is finished." The path of the wonderful provision of God for the salvation of your soul was done on the cross, was seen on the third day when Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to replace me. His peace is greater and more powerful than any peace you might find here on the earth. That's if you can find it. It is, Paul says, beyond our understanding, beyond our reasoning, beyond our logic. But when a man and woman, boy or girl, gives their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's one of the first things they experience, this wonderful sense of peace with God. Have you got that today? His peace becomes ours when we are reconciled to God by faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. The whole point of Christmas was to bring you back into a relationship with God that we had before Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They walked together in the cool of the day. They had that perfect harmony and peace. They knew no fear, no anxiety, no stress. None of those things they experienced until they disobeyed God. But notice what Paul says, and it's important to notice the words that he uses. His peace, that's God's peace, will guard your hearts and minds. And there's been an awful lot discussed and said over the last year, or even before that, of mental health, the state of our mental health provision in our nation today. There's more people needing it than ever before. But we as Christians only need to go to God when we are concerned and anxious about anything and pray and come to God with our supplications before Him. And His peace will guard your heart and minds. It's a total provision of God to you when you put your faith and trust in God. His peace will guard you against future events that will come into your life. You have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Yeah, you can turn to the newspaper and look at your stars if you want to. That's a load of nonsense, isn't it? God's the only one who knows what's coming your way tomorrow. That's why we need to trust Him with our tomorrows. If we've had experience with God in the past, it's good to reflect on what God has done for us in the past. I've started at last to keep a diary, and it's nice to put down all the things that God does for you throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the year. That's why on the 29th of this month, we're having a service that's quite different from the usual. And yes, there'll be a very short message, but I'm expecting all of you in some degree to get involved in sharing your testimony of what God's done for you this year. And I'll be very surprised if there's anybody who's not had something from God this year. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's what the angels said to the shepherds. Now, it's good to note that the times the angels said that were times of uproar, sedition, revolt, all sorts of things. We talk about this country. Well, it was happening worse in Israel in the time when the angels came. And then suddenly the angel broke forth and said, goodwill. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Bill Crowder, one of the guys we like to listen to on some of our CDs, he says this: it's a peace we are to share with the world that's desperate for it. Only in a relationship with Jesus have we really got peace. And when you meet people and you talk to people who are going through really difficult emotional difficulties, tell them about the peace that you have through Jesus. Show them on your demeanor and the way you live your life that you're living in the peace of God. And they will know you have something that they need. And you can lead them in the sinner's prayer so they can also receive this wonderful peace. Accept this offer found in the Christmas story. Be reconciled to God by asking Him to forgive you all your sins. Believe that His Son Jesus died on the cross in your stead. and was raised from the dead and stands at the right hand of God today. Jesus says to all of us today these lovely words, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. It's yours right now, today." Lord, we just pray it's important that we receive Jesus, and as we receive him into our hearts and lives, he becomes our Savior and Lord, and we receive from him the gift of not only just the forgiveness of sins, but peace with God. Amen. Now we're going to talk about water baptism. So you're getting two sermons. I was deceiving you when I said I've only got two headings. We want to talk about water baptism because there may be some here who believe in Jesus and have not been baptized. And those who have committed to baptism this morning, just to refresh their memories as well as our, what baptism is really all about. Those who've committed themselves to Christ are going through the waters of baptism. They are declaring to all in this building this morning, Christ is both Lord and Savior. Baptism is a symbol of death to the old life, and coming out of the water is a raising to a new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul likes to paint a picture of what he believed baptism was about when he refers to the baptism of Moses. And people say, what on earth is he talking about? Well, the Jewish people had lived in Egypt for 400 years. And God sent Moses to rescue them out. And as they came out, they had to pass through the Red Sea. And God miraculously opened the Red Sea up so they could pass on dry ground. And as they passed through, when the last person put their foot on the shore, the sea closed behind them, indicating there was no way back. And when we are baptized, we're saying to the Lord, I don't want anything more to do with my old life. I want to live for Jesus. I want his life to be found in me. We come out of the water, as did Christ from the grave, to resurrected life. Those who have been baptized, really believe in your heart when you're being baptized that you are doing it according to the word of God, and God will reward your faith and action by blessing your life in the future. These three being baptized are doing so at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself was baptized. Following his example, himself did it publicly in the Jordan River. Everybody knew. And John said to him, I've no need to baptize you. He said, no, we fulfill every part of the law. And so he was baptized. And as he was baptized and came out of the water, John said that I saw a dove settle on him. And I heard God say, this is my beloved son. Believe God will bless you for your stand for him today. We've always insisted in our church today, it's on the confession of your faith in Jesus that you're baptized. So these three people who are going to be baptized this morning have to come up to the front here and make a statement of their belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are pledging an allegiance to Jesus Christ. Baptism, as somebody has said, is an outward sign of an inward and spiritual change that has taken place. I want to read from Colossians, a little verse from there. And then we're going to start to baptize. And just a word of practicality. If you want to take photographs, please stand at that side. Avoid this side, because if I make a splash, you might get wet. So if you stand side, if you're not taking photographs, please make room for those who are. Please remember this. It's going to be cold, so we don't want to hang around too much in the water. So be quick with your cameras, all right? And both Paul and I will probably need resuscitation afterwards, because we're going to be in there a lot longer than anybody else. Colossians, Paul writing to them, says this, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him up from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive. Made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins, and having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them all, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. Now comes that time where they have to come up to the front and give their testimonies. Now, who's going to be the first? Right. Do you like the way he volunteers his wife? Yeah. Come on then. You have to come up to the front. Paul, is this off now? Is this off?
This is my testimony. Before, my life before was so miserable. My heart is full of hatred, pain, resentment, jealousy, and a lot of whys, like big question mark, like why I am suffering like this, why I have lots of pains. Why, Lord, you're giving them lots of kids even though they couldn't look after themselves? Why they're blessing them everything they want, but why not me? You know their past. They've done something wrong, but you still bless them. I live my life with my hands firmly closed. I keep everything, the overwhelming emotions, in my hands, not wanting to let go of these overwhelming emotions. I was afraid that if I open my hands, I will be vulnerable again. Then Jesus said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." So I continue my life going to church, listening with worship songs, reading scriptures, and having friends by my side who help me overcome. But it's not that easy. For a long time, I'm either hot or cold. It became a cycle of my life, like closed, open, closed, opened, closed. Then one night I have a panic attack. I experienced panic attack before, but this night it's really bad. I have a chest pain. I couldn't breathe. I feel cold. My hands and my feet are really stiff. And I'm feeling like difficult of breathing. I'm like droning. So I have nobody with me. Ezekiel is fast asleep. Ricky is at work. I don't know where to turn to. So I prayed to God. I said to Jesus, "Lord, help me. Forgive me. Heal me. Because I don't know what to do. I feel like if I felt that time, this is it. I will die." And on that time, it came to my mind, I don't want to die carrying all of this burden, because I know I will be in hell. If I die tonight, I will be in hell because of these feelings that really heavy on my heart. So I prayed and I trust God completely. And he said that ask and it will be given to you. So that night, after I prayed, the panic attack is gone. Since then, I don't have any panic attack. And thinking about it, I said to myself, do I need to continue being miserable or just to trust God completely on my life? So I choose Jesus. As I look back, I can say honestly the best choice I've ever made. I am now happy, content, and blessed. And I could say as well that all my prayers are being answered. One of the examples is Ezekiel. He is there. And today, I made the right choice. I decide to be baptized and to choose with Jesus.
Keisha, do you want to be next? Ladies first. I believe she's going to sing.
Jesus, the rock that never fails. Growing up, Mother Karma. Growing up when I was younger, I saw church as nothing more than just a Sunday ritual, and I would leave it at that. I would only think of Jesus on a Sunday, and I didn't really see the magnitude of what it was like to follow Christ and or be a follower of God. And even sometimes now, if I'm being fully honest, I sometimes neglect listening to God as opposed to, you know, following his will. And it's just so easy to succumb to the world and conform as opposed to setting yourself apart for Christ. A friend of mine at university, she invited me to her church one Sunday, and I remember singing a new song that I hadn't recognized. And in the lyrics it says, "Even when I don't feel it, you're working." And I can just remember feeling so heavy. Because for a long time, I just felt as though God had been silent in my life, and so I didn't really believe in the lyrics. But along the way, I've now realized that God has been speaking subtly to me through the people he's put in my life, especially in uni. And And even when I felt myself drifting, there would be times when I'd be reminded of God, even when I didn't want to. But I would just know that God is still the same. He hasn't moved, and he is still speaking. But it was just me that wasn't listening. It writes in Hebrews, by faith. Thank you. It writes in Hebrews that by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, He refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. I know you really shouldn't have favorite verses in the Bible, but that is my favorite to read, because in it, Moses willingly sets himself apart from the world, and he wasn't afraid to do so. And essentially, that's what baptism is, setting yourself apart for Christ. I'm still learning and I'm still making mistakes, but I'm assured that in spite of my own shortcomings, God is still God.
Well, I've been a Christian a long time now, and I'm still making mistakes, so you're not by yourself. Now the guy who should have been the first one is sitting there. Come on, it's your turn. You're not getting away with it. Yeah. You're going to sing? Oh, right. Oh.
We could be here some time.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ricky. I'd like to share my life's testimony. I was baptized as a baby and raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic school. I attended Catholic church with my family, friends, and classmates consistently every week, every Sunday, as required in a Catholic school. When I was in Philippines, every Good Friday, I carried cross from a locally known pilgrimage area in our province. I carried wooden heavy cross for 7 years as a tradition in our family. I do not know the time why I'm doing it. One thing for sure, it's really painful. I made so many bad decisions and wrong choices. My life has no meaning, purpose, or right direction. My life was completely out of control. I did not know how to fix it. I have no desire to change my life at all. Believe it or not, I've been in many troubles and fights back home. I don't want to really say it, but I was addicted. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, and troublemaker. And then my mother had enough with me. In 1999, I went to United Arab Emirates. I took to look for work and hoping I'll change my life. To make my story short, when I was waiting a taxi, I met my neighbor from Philippines. I knew him is a born-again Christian. He then invited me to then attend their church and Bible study, so I also joined their cell groups. I started reading Bible and opened my heart to a relationship with Jesus Christ, understand what it means to follow Jesus. I accepted Jesus as my Lord, personal Savior, and friend. In all honesty, my Christian life is not perfect, make mistakes, and being a Christian is not easy at all. But I have faith, by the grace of God, I can overcome it. I always pray, and always need pray. I always remember one of the verses in the Bible, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And I would like to thank my family, my friends, and to my wife. You help me to be a better person each day. And to my son Ezekiel, who always reminds me of God's love for me. I told myself, no, I'm not going to cry. And thank you, Pastor Ray and Christine. I am humbled and honored to be a part of this amazing church. And to my good friend, Apple, Mr. Manta and family, who always there for me and helped me along the way. My spiritual life to all of you here, thank you for being part of my Christian life. Now, I decided to get baptized to strengthen my relationship with the Lord, and I'm excited to take this next step to my commitment to Jesus Christ again. Thank you all. God bless us and love you all.